Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Iraqi civilians and soldiers danced on the street.
The people in Mosul are celebrating the recent victories.
There's been little to cheer here for so long that soldiers and civilians took to the streets to celebrate.
A milestone in Iraq where U.S.-backed Iraqi forces are declaring victory over ISIS in Mosul.
Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi
congratulated the Iraqi forces and the people on the victory and declared the city liberated.
After months of hiding, many used by ISIL as human shields, terrified civilians emerged from the rubble.
My God, ISIL didn't let us out. There were snipers shooting at us.
Mosul is Iraq's biggest metropolis outside of Baghdad.
Second largest city.
And gaining control of the city was one of ISIS's most significant strategic wins.
Iraqi forces continued to shepherd civilians out of the old city.
The level of destruction in the old city is almost total.
It will take 2 months to restore basic services such as electricity and water.
Virtually every single building is either completely or partially reduced to rubble.
Many will carry the scars of this battle for the rest of their lives.
Victory for Iraqi forces over ISIS in Mosul and a long, long way to go. I'm Todd Zwillick and this is The Takeaway. You heard there the celebrations and the elation as Iraqi forces finally drove ISIS out of Mosul. It's a city the Islamic State has held for more than 3 years. Behind the joy, though, is devastation. Nearly a million Iraqis were displaced by the invasion and the fighting, and thousands died. On Sunday, Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi arrived in Mosul, dressed in battle fatigues, to celebrate the army's victory. It's a major defeat for ISIS, but now it only gives way to concerns about what's next, as the brutal and violent movement is backed into a corner. Tim Arango is the Baghdad bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. He's been following the story closely. He's been in Mosul twice since the weekend. Tim, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be with you.
What do things look like on the ground in the city of Mosul now?
Well, it's really two cities right now. There's the east side of the city on the east bank of the Tigris, and that's pretty normal. That was liberated in January. But then you go to the other side in the west where there's actually still some fighting remaining, and it's just absolutely devastated, particularly in the old city. You just can't imagine the apocalyptic nature of the devastation. Most buildings in the old city are flattened. There's still bodies everywhere. The stench is in the air. It's just really a devastating scene. And, you know, American commanders have said this was the worst urban combat since World War II. And it really looks like that in Mosul's old city.
This took a very long time for Iraqi forces backed by the United States and others to get into Mosul and to retake it. ISIS held this second largest city in the country for 3 years. That's an awful long time. Why did it take so long for forces to get mobilized, to get ISIS out?
Yeah, when Islamic State took over Mosul in 2014, the Iraqi security forces just fled and ISIS took the city in a matter of days. And so that brought the U.S. back to try to rebuild the Iraqi security forces. And it was a very long effort until they were ready last October to start this operation. And when it started in October, I think there was some optimism that there would be an uprising among the civilians and that it could go quickly. But of course, the opposite happened, and Islamic State was very much dug in. And it took 9 months of brutal fighting to do this.
Tim Arango, let's step back a little bit. What is the state of ISIS now? Of course, we know they've lost geographic territory. They've lost some footing in cities. Does that really make much of a difference in terms of their operations? What's the condition of the Islamic State?
Well, certainly their state building project is on the wane. They've lost Mosul. They're probably going to lose Raqqa and Syria in the next few months. There's still some cities they control in Iraq, but they're much smaller than Mosul. But what we're seeing is that they still have the ability to inspire attacks abroad. But for Iraqis, they're terrified of what's next in terms of the group becoming a very potent insurgency like it has been almost since the immediate aftermath of the 2003 invasion. And so they'll go back to their you know, sort of their roots as an insurgency, and there's no doubt they're going to continue to carrying out attacks, suicide attacks and car bomb attacks in places like Baghdad and other cities. So by no means does this mean that Iraq is going to become a peaceful place.
People will remember concerns from commanders during the Iraq War that the Sunni extremists who are the predecessors of ISIS would just melt into the population and engage in the type of insurgent terrorism that you're talking about. It's exactly what happened. I mean, this part of the play has run before.
Yeah, we've seen it before. And the one consistent thing people were telling me in my visits to Mosul from coming from the mouths of some of the commanders is they believe so many of these guys, especially the Iraqi fighters, just shaved their beards and melted into the civilian population who was fleeing the battles and are probably now living in the many refugee camps around Mosul.
Is there still an idea, Tim, in Iraq that ISIS can be defeated militarily? Is anyone talking about the eventual need for a political settlement, as they so often do in cases like this?
People talk about it. That's one consistent message from lots of people, that always the military gains come without any political reconciliation. And so then, you know, time passes and then we're back doing this. There's discussions of it, but there's been no meaningful reconciliation. And if anything, the Sunni community is more devastated than ever without any effective leadership. Its civilians are, you know, millions of them are displaced and the cities are in ruins. And so there's been very little talk of any meaningful political bargain to sort of end this for good.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation, Tim, that one of the questions at stake here is whether Iraq can stay together. Fighting ISIS has, of course, been at least some form of unifying force among at least some of the major groups in Iraq. What's the concern now if this fight winds down, or at least becomes less of a direct military engagement, about Iraq's ability to continue on as a country?
Yeah, I think that's right. The fight against ISIS brought a lot of groups together who are normally at odds with each other: the Kurds, the Shia militias, the Iraqi government. The most immediate event that will happen is in September, the Iraqi Kurds are planning a referendum on independence. They've been moving in that direction for a very, very long time, and it seems inevitable. The referendum will pass because most Kurds want their own country. It won't mean independence immediately or even a declaration of independence, but it'll be a big moment setting that on its course.
Well, let's just go back to Mosul for a moment before we let you go, Tim. You mentioned the devastation in that city, that everything west of the river is mostly rubble. Thousands of people have been killed, up to 1 million people displaced. Is there any idea when people might be able to begin to return to their homes? Is that even something that's conceivable now?
Well, in the east, it's like a different city. So people have returned there from that battle. In the west, particularly in the old city, no one knows. It could be a very, very long time because it's just not livable. And so the big question is, how soon can they restore services? Where can they get the money from the Iraqi government or from regional countries or the international community to start rebuilding? But those are questions that no one can quite answer at this moment.
Tim Arango, Baghdad bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.